This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons broadcasting today from Scores down on Canal Street, thanks to our friends from Jameson. Even though Ted Johnson doesn't like pickleback shots. Yeah, I bet you he likes Jameson, though, right?
It's
the pickle
do.
Part you don't like.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll take the Jameson, though.
We are just down the street from TD Garden preparing for Celtics Thunder tonight. NBA Finals preview. And joining us shortly will be Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Little change of plans here. Traffic, as we all know, in the greater Boston area can sometimes change your plans. So Scal's going to join us on the phone instead of in person, but he will still share his thoughts. And Scal is joining us now. Brian Scalabrine is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow. And by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, how we doing today?
Man, I was planning on coming to visit my guys, but this traffic is off the chart. So if you guys are coming in to the city, everybody leave an hour and a half early.
I think you didn't show up because you had a cheat day yesterday and you didn't want Ted doing his little test on your sides.
I don't care about that anymore. You know, listen, I'm never going to be like Ted. I've accepted it.
Scal, how excited are you for tonight? Do you buy into this theory that this is a potential preview of the NBA Finals? Are the Thunder the best team in the West, even though they're a little bit undermanned tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think they are. When I watch them play, they guard. They take care of the ball. And now that they added Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren together, their rebounding numbers have improved significantly. I think they're one of the tougher teams in the NBA as far as on-ball defense. So there's a lot of things when I watch this team play that I think finals preview. But you have to also remember, young and experienced, and they still have to go to a guy like Nikola Jokic. But right now, if you had to, you know, money on the line, I'm picking Oklahoma City to come out of the West.
So, Scal, we were talking about who we think, considering how great SGA has been, MVP season, probably still MVP frontrunner, though, you know, my vote would go to Jokic just because, you know, 30-20-20 almost on a regular basis and not have the award named after you. But SGA is something else. Do you think Jaylen Brown draws the assignment tonight? And is that the way you'd go?
Oh. Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't even gone down that road yet. You know, Tatum in the past has done a really good job with SGA, but Tatum has been guarding bigs this whole season. That's why his rebounding numbers are up. So I think, man, what a way to cap off a week for Jaylen Brown. You know, what he did to Luka, which was incredible, and now, you know, I throw the Utah game out of there, and now you're looking at SGA, you can really grab some momentum. And he's always wanted to be known as a better defensive player, like, you know, an elite defensive player. So, you know, first team all defense or maybe even defensive player of the year stuff. And, yeah, I think he might draw that assignment. You know, Derek White historically has guarded SGA, but, you know, SGA is a real problem for people because of he doesn't look strong, but he plays really strong. He plays through contact, leads the league in drives, points off drives, free throws off drives, all that. So I am actually, now that you brought that up, really looking forward to seeing who guards him, because I think he's one of the most unstoppable perimeter players right now in the league. And it'll be interesting if anybody, Jaylen Brown or anybody on the Celtics, can keep him out of the paint.
Scal, OKC, they have the best defense. It's really not even close in the NBA, metrically speaking. Great rim protection. They're the best defending the pick and roll. And I'm wondering if, you know, they got to have a fallback plan if the three-point isn't falling, or they're just, their perimeter defense is just too much for the Celtics. How do they pivot? What do they do if they're just, the defense is just too tough for them on the perimeter? How do you see them adjusting?
Yeah, so if you go back to, the only sample size we have is one half of good basketball. We dropped 65 points against them, 24 points in the paint. Now, I get it. Like, I think there was no Chet Holmgren in that game. But, you know, those early post-ups in transition, Oklahoma City did whatever they could to take away the three-point line. And the only adjustment that Oklahoma City made from the first game to the second, it's just be more physical on the perimeter. So the Celtics are going to have to kind of be locked in with their spacing. They're not going to be able to play around with the ball. If that means when it's time to go and a gap opens up, you got to hit that gap. You got to play faster. You got to get into open gaps quicker. And when they do help out, you got to spray that ball out. But you won't find a better on-ball defensive group. And you won't find a better rim protection group right now, especially with both those guys out there. Last year, a team that went to the conference finals was Minnesota. They had Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. Those guys were great at defending the rim, the number one defense last year in the NBA. Well, these guys, now that they have their two shot blockers and the perimeter defenders, they're the number one defense. So big challenge for the Celtics, even though there's a little revenge factor. You know, Oklahoma City's coming off a back-to-back with the flight and everything like that. Not tonight, they're on the back-to-back, but they played a physical team in Denver, and they're missing Jalen Williams, who's having an all-star season. So there's a lot of things out for them, but tonight I expect the Celtics to come out and send a message to the NBA once again, and they've been loving these opportunities to send a message to the league.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. And sending that message of late in some of these big games, these big matchups, seems like it's definitely been led by Tatum and Brown. They seem really comfortable with their sort of lot in life these days. And we were talking about it earlier with Ted, like, is it because they won a title? Did they get paid? Are they just maturing and evolving as basketball players? But why do you think, because we've debated, you know, who they are, how they work together for so long, seems like they're really starting to hit their stride in terms of comfort and being the centerpieces in these big games.
Yeah, so this is just my opinion, and I could be wrong. You know, like throughout their career, you think about it, there was the Kyrie Irving, and they went out and got Gordon Hayward, right? Those guys are just taking possessions away. Then you had Kyrie Irving get hurt, and then Terry Rozier, like, rose to his stardom, whatever that was. And all the times, like, Jalen and Jason were fighting for possession. Then they went and got Kemba Walker. He took possession. Then Marcus Smart kind of grew into his role. They took possession. Finally, Brad Stevens just said, you know what? The guys who I want handling the ball. And I remember a lot of people saying they need a point guard. They need a point guard. They need a point guard.
Scal? Mm-hmm.
Going through a tunnel?
Comeback guy. Oh, they break up?
Yeah, nope, you're back. Okay, no, yeah, you're good.
No way.
No, you're back. So, you're good.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going through the, I got terrible signal. Dang it! But I think that their possessions have gone really much higher. Like, you just think their usage rate is high. When Tatum's usage rate is high, they play the best basketball that they play. The Celtics win when his usage rate is over 33%. So I think giving the ball to those guys, allow them not to press the issue as much. They're not looking to score every time they have the ball. They get off the ball a lot quicker. They have no problem getting other people involved because they know that that possession is going to come to them another time and another time. So that is my guess on why these guys have excelled in their roles the last 2 years.
So, Scal, we haven't actually talked to you since what I thought was the most entertaining Celtics game of the regular season. We talked to you on Wednesday, and then Wednesday night, you told us exactly what we should have expected from the Trailblazers. Relentless, putting the ball up quickly, fast. When that team, you know, Chauncey Billups seems to be doing a great job with them. Not that this is really all about them. This is about the fact that between Pritchard and Derek White, they put up 19 threes and 84 points, and you didn't tell us that we had that kind of game coming. We heard you with Tirico. A, how much fun was it doing the game with Tirico? I know Drew's great. And B, how fun was that sitting courtside for that absolute three-point-a-palooza?
Yeah, so let's talk about the Tirico side of it. You know, I'm always cool, like, whether the first time I met Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or whoever, I'm like, I feel completely
normal.
A
couple small names to start the story.
No, but I'm saying like, all-time great legendary people,
sir.
Right?
Yep.
And then you see him, like, I've never played with Larry Bird or even, like, pick up with Magic, but I have played with Michael Jordan, and you meet him, and I'm like, I'm totally cool just chopping it up with anybody. I don't care who I meet. But then you see these people and what makes them great, and you see them working, and you get that little kid feeling where you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm surrounded by a legend here, right? And that's what it was like working with Tirico. Like, you know the name, and you talk to him, and you chop it up, and he's just a normal guy. And then you watch him work, and you're like, oh, man, this guy is – there's a reason why he's special, and it's a big deal, right? So that was really cool. As far as the game, yeah, I mean, it's like it's a great luxury to have. Just think about this, at what has transpired. We sit guys out, Pritchard and White go for 40. And then a couple of days later, we sit guys out and Sam Hauser goes for 33. That is a luxury that no team in the NBA has. And at times people have talked about our bench, you know, like, the bench is not very good. But when these guys get their opportunities for them to deliver like that, like, it's a coach's dream to be able to sit guys, still win games, and have random dudes off the bench. And I know those guys are great players, but random guys have career nights when Tatum or Brown are sitting out. And all those games have been fun to see, but nothing like, you know, like watching what tonight's going to be like.
Hey, Scal, between the game you're talking about and this game, was a game against the Lakers, and I was really excited to watch that game. And I mean, it was a beatdown, bro. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, you saw the defense got turned up big time by the Celtics. LeBron goes out with a groin injury. You got Luka over there with the heating pad. You know, he's doing nothing on defense, and it just looked like completely two different teams. What did that game tell you? Did that game tell you anything? Did you learn anything about the Celtics in that game?
I mean, I don't know about learn anything, but it's just a reminder once again. Like, I don't care how good a team is. When we guard and we have that motivation to guard, like, we're going to show you. And Jaylen Brown, as good as Al Horford was that game, and he was really good, Jaylen Brown was the MVP of that game, because picking up Luka full court, they know the formula. They saw it in the finals. And by him doing that, it changes the trajectory of the game. So the answer is, watching Jaylen, who doesn't really get the credit for his defense, and we might see that same thing tonight, was the reason why we were able to stifle that Laker offense. And, you know, I think it kind of gives everybody out there the formula to beat the L.A. Lakers is, you got to wear out Luka Doncic. You can't let him get comfortable, which is odd because I watch a lot of their team play, and they allow Luka to get comfortable.
Scal, you're around the team a lot. Can you convince me that this Porzingis thing is not an issue? It's not a big deal? Maybe explain it to me. Just kind of bring some clarity to whatever's going on with Porzingis.
Yeah, I really can't, because I don't understand when you have the best doctors in. No, I'm being serious here. Like,
yeah.
You got the best doctors in the world, and you don't know what's going on with a viral issue. Like, that's, I don't know anything that's going on. That just sounds super scary to me. Like, I'm not even the starting center for the Celtics. I don't want an issue where the doctors in Boston, you know, or New England area don't know what's going on. Right. That's like a real scary thing. So hopefully it's like he can get back and play, and hopefully he's healthy. Right. Like, it's not a long-term thing, but when I saw that tweet, he looked like he's in good spirits with the pitcher and all that stuff. But I hope for the best. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm being honest. It could be nothing, and he can come back, and it could be, like, not a thing. But I just think it's a really scary thing to not know what you have when you're young and in the best shape of your life.
All right, Scal, you know the drill. We end with your prediction. What's going to unfold tonight?
Yeah, beat down tonight because a little revenge factor. Yeah. Everyone's going to hype this game up, but we're going to beat them down because I just know how it works. Like, you play a physical team in a back-to-back game, and that Nuggets game was physical. They're shorthanded. They're coming up here. They smacked us in the second half. They did it with physicality and energy. You know, that Oklahoma City crowd is a little bit crazy, so I just feel like big plus time. What's the line come in at? It's got to be like 7.5, right?
I don't actually have something like that. But
you guys don't know? You guys don't know?
Our internet is down, brother.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is not great.
Connectivity issues here a little bit, just like traffic. Yeah. You know, things pop up. Wi-Fi and traffic screw the world.
I got Celtics by 6 in a tight one.
I like Scal's.
You mean that's what the line is, or that's what you say?
That's just me. I'm just the other guy. I got Celtics by 6.
How about this? I bet you we get up by 20. How about that? You guys want to, like, throw a wager on?
Yes, I'll take
that bet because I just opened my FanDuel app, and it's
Boston minus 2.5.
Minus 2.5.
So it's almost like a pick.
Oh, they're wrong. They don't understand the schedule. It's a scheduling loss for Oklahoma City. We'll be up. I don't know. You never know what we're going to win by. It's always this. I wish I could cash bets out when they get up by 20. I wish I could just cash out right then and there. But you never know what they're going to win by. How about the other night, 24, up by 24, Utah ties it. But we will get up by 20. I don't know what we'll win by.
Oh, he's such homer. He's such a homer.
Since you said you thought it should have been around 7 and it's 2.5, I just put 3 units on the Celtics, and we'll talk next week. I'm going to blame you if I'm down a little bit, okay? All right, Scal, enjoy the game.
I'll take you out to dinner then. All right, sounds good.
Oh, I love it. Love it. All right, Scal, enjoy the game.
Get a booster seat for him.
Brian, that's a shot. They don't have those at nice restaurants, I don't think. Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, joining us there. Optimistic. Celtics will lead by at least 20 at some point tonight.
That's either going to sound amazing tomorrow on the show or laughable.
You know what, though? When he talks about, a lot of people don't put a lot of stock in it, but the external factors, the travel, back-to-back, those things will have an effect on a team. So he mentions that, and he is the real indicator why he thinks the Celtics are going to win big.
WEEI Afternoons here at Scores Canal Street will continue to break down this big game. I like the sounds of a 20-point lead, but he also didn't exactly feel great about how the game would end. So he sounds like he thinks they could blow said 20-point lead. We'll continue to talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time,
speaking of things that blow.
Oh, what's trending now?
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, I guess it's downhill from here. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Celtics wrap up their 7-game homestand tonight when they host the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tip-off is at 7:30. Tonight's injury report looks like this. Jaylen Brown is probable for tonight's game, while Kristaps Porzingis and Jason Tatum are both questionable. The Bruins overcame a 2-0 deficit to end the Florida Panthers' 6-game winning streak, winning at TD Garden 3-2 last night. Jeremy Swayman made 26 saves on 28 shots, while David Pastrnak had a goal and an assist. Pastrnak is tied for 5th in the league in points entering play tonight. Boston visits Ottawa tomorrow night. The Red Sox host the Minnesota Twins tonight at JetBlue Park. First pitch is at 6:05, and Tanner Houck starts for Boston. You can catch the game on the FM side, 93.7 WEEI, beginning at 6 with the Christian Arcand Show following the game. NFL free agency has officially begun. In NFL news, the Jets are signing former Steelers and Patriots offensive tackle Chukwuma Okorafor. Lions free agent guard Kevin Zeitler is expected to sign with the Titans. He gets a 1-year, $9 million deal. 6-time Pro Bowl cornerback Darius Slay has agreed to terms with the Steelers on a 1-year contract. Former Cowboys defensive end Marcus Lawrence signs a 3-year, $42 million deal with $18 million guaranteed with the Seahawks. The Cowboys are also in the finishing stages of a trade for Titans linebacker Kenneth Murray Jr. And from earlier, Cooper Kupp has officially been released by the Los Angeles Rams. He is a free agent. It's great to have goals. It's even better to have experts help you attain those goals. Experts in weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Scores on Canal Street coming up right after this.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
What a way to cap off a week for Jaylen Brown. You know, what he did to Luka, which was incredible. And now, you know, I throw the Utah game out of there. And now you're looking at SGA. You can really grab some momentum. And he's always wanted to be known as a better defensive player, like, you know, an elite defensive player. So, you know, first team all defense or maybe even defensive player of the year stuff. And, yeah, I think he might draw that assignment.
That was Brian Scalabrine just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy stealing my idea of having Jaylen Brown guard SGA tonight.
I was making sure that it was brought to the fore. Sometimes I know you get out ahead of your interview skis.
Well, forget. No, I want to challenge JB. I think JB, and we've talked about Missoula pushing buttons.
Yeah.
This is another button. Find
okay.
that other button
well, we'll
to
see.
Challenge him.
Yeah.
And you then put that in your back pocket because I think you would say fallback safe option, Derek White.
Luka and SGA are such different
Very different.
Players.
But that's why it's a challenge to JB.
Okay,
no. See this.
Jaylen Brown started off the season, would we say, a little slower, right? You didn't get off to a fast start.
Nope.
Remember, a lot of people were critical of his off-season workouts.
His mass gaining.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got too big, got too muscular.
Which is crazy. You know where it's really...
Says the biggest guy here.
But you know what I love is he did a lot of the just untraditional workouts.
Yep.
Under the pool work.
Oh, he loves
I'm
that.
A big fan.
Yeah,
of,
that underwater
you know.
Stuff. And absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But this is the time of the year where that off-season workouts is going to pay dividends.
Correct.
Is at the end of the year.
I also think he's feeling better. He had that stretch with the knee. He was listed, missed a couple games, listed with a knee injury, and he even referenced it a few times that the knee was bothering him, affecting him. Feels like maybe he's starting to come out the other side. Because as I said, last game when he did that old Mark Jackson hand down, man down, got wide like the high school basketball player picking somebody up at half court, sort of making a show of I'm about to take you away. Mm-hmm. I think there's a performer in JB. There's a definite, not just a basketball player, but he likes to have a little more, put on a little bit of a show, play to the crowd, play against the other team.
I think
matching him up with SGA is a way to allow him to do that.
I feel like Tatum's showmanship has really been coming to the fore recently.
I know I've been.
Can you give me an example?
The
Lakers game he was very confident, very, very.
Let's see. What was it, 43 or 40, 46 against the Cavaliers? The points per game average has been up significantly over the past six games. Been very emotional. Against the Cavs, how about when it's 25-3?
Where was the turning point? What was the difference?
What was the inflection point
when JT started?
Why did you walk me into that?
Hey, I've been on the same page as Andy when it comes to that. Can you remind me of the game?
The Heat game.
Heat game.
Second to third quarter,
right,
halftime.
Right.
Missoula was pissed at the end of the first half.
That's right.
Because the 2-for-1 he messed up.
Yes, he messed it up. Missoula apparently went after him in the locker room.
Yep.
That's according to JT.
Correct.
He went after him pretty hard.
Came out and
boom. Came out. And
he's been a different player since that game.
He absolutely has. And I love this version. I think this is the version we all thought could still be there. It was like that final step.
You know what that tells me? There's a little bit of old school in Jason Tatum, meaning if you respect your coach and he calls you out on something that he's right on, you don't want to let your coach down.
Right.
You respond like a Parcells. You know what? That was Johnson. You don't know what you're doing, do you? You know, I shouldn't even be playing you out there. Oh yeah, coach, watch this. I'm gonna go out there. It's an old school way. Instead of sucking your thumb and feeling sorry for yourself, he was like, all right, coach is right. I got to go do something, and he did. And he didn't let it affect him. And in fact, he's been feels like a different player since that moment.
Absolutely. And some of it isn't just scoring. He's always been a capable scorer. Mm-hmm. Some of it is being comfortable defending, being comfortable distributing, dealing with double teams. Scal talked a lot
way
about
better
that.
Double teams.
The whole thing. And I just think he's, again, I don't know if it's just maturity, evolution, Missoula, a combination of all those factors, but it's working.
Can I just tell you, the Luka JB, Luka, picking him up at half court thing. That's such a – do that for Luka and LeBron because they're so ball dominant.
Yep.
Pound the ball. They just pound, pound, pound. You know what? Get up in their grill half court and they'll get – by the third quarter, they're so tired of dribbling with having somebody up in their grill at half court that they become gassed. They start making mistakes, and then it all unravels for them.
Tired, but also they're a little bit like basketball bullies. Punch them in the mouth. I don't think a lot of people have that confidence.
They don't want to challenge them.
Right. Challenge them.
And at half court? Oh, man, you would challenge me at half court?
Right.
Who are you to challenge me at half court?
And JB, I think, does it with no fear. No thought of, oh, he's going to embarrass me. No, I think JB does it saying, I'm athletic, I'm speedy, I'm quick, I'm strong, I'm ready for this.
And in the emotion, he doesn't let his emotions get the best. He's such a calm kind of, right? Where, Marcus Smart, he's when he's playing really good defense, you see emotion pouring out of him.
It was all emotion, sometimes to his detriment.
To his detriment, where there's a reserve kind of nature to JB. When he's intense and getting in your grill, he's still in control.
And I think that comes off as, at least to the opponent, as confidence.
Because
if you're riding the emotion, that's one thing. But if you're cool, calm, and collected and kicking my ass, it's like, you know you're better than me.
That's right.
It's a simple, you know you're better than me. And
I think the Celtics know they're better than everybody right now.
I agree. And they are right now. That's the other thing. It's not just they think they are.
Watch out. Best not read your own clippings and start sniffing your own blank early.
We're just, I'm not on the team. I'm just a guy doing my job telling you what I think. And that's what I think, how they think right now.
I'm just a guy over here just constantly refreshing Twitter, hoping to see if Cooper Kupp signs with the Patriots.
That's the one thing. I haven't got a sense that this team wants to all get into a room and smell their own farts.
No.
I just feel like they feel like they got work to do, and it's very professional and very workmanlike how they're approaching their job this year. You know, it's kind of fun to watch because you're curious how they're going to do after they win the whole thing. What is their approach going to be? Like I said, it very much 2003, 2004 vibes from the teams I played on where there was just this collective confidence that we knew we were going to win. Didn't matter the circumstance or what.
I want to thank Mike Giardi for listening and giving us a hard time for being homers, especially me, and accusing me of doing something to or for
I'm
JP
the guy
that is not appropriate.
Oh, really? Well, the funny thing is, I'm the one sitting here. Giardi's probably like, damn it, I can't believe it. I agree with Fitzy again. I think Oklahoma City's going to fight back and make it a close one tonight.
Aren't you and Giardi supposed to be friends? Doesn't he know how you operate by now?
This is what friends do. We bust balls.
Okay.
That's what we do. Dan, you should know
something about
that.
It's very different in Andy's world. Where the friends are more like, wow, I have frenemies that aren't as rough with me. That's the heartiverse. That's how it goes.
Quick story. Paul Perillo, when I used to bust his balls at work, came to my bachelor party, met my best man and my best friend for my entire life, saw me bust that guy's balls and goes, wait, you bust your best friend's balls like that? You must really like me. We're really friends. Huh? That's how our relationship took off. It's what I do. 617-779-7937.
Busting balls at a bachelor party.
That's right.
Oh, Andy.
What are you doing?
What do you got?
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island, who wants to talk about the Celtics defense. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? First, Fitzy, I text you on Monday, but I picked you up on that stream, and I wasn't surprised that you were involved helping out. It was a tragic loss, but a great stream and a great fundraiser.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you tuned in. Well, we did a great job raising money Friday night for cancer research with the Kine family. That was awesome. Thank you.
That was great, man. Okay, so you guys were just mentioning about Joe going after Tatum, but when Tatum was growing up, his dad was an unbelievable basketball player. He coached him really hard. Tatum would often say he'd be leaving the gym crying. So I've been always one that said I never thought the kid was Tatum was soft. He just got a different way about him. But as far as their defense, if you look at Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Derek White, and Holiday, I mean, that's an all NBA defensive team right there. So when they put their mind to it, like Scott was saying, like, where are you going to go with the ball? That's suffocating. Also, just one last thing. With the first three spots being locked in on the East, like, this is kind of one of the last real intense games that you might see at home until the playoffs. So it's just something to think about. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Matt. We have some breaking news here, I think, for the Patriots.
Oh.
No.
No?
No.
Not that one.
Double no.
No, no.
A bad no and a badder no.
Am I breaking
Jonathan
news?
Jonathan Jones. No, we don't need it.
What?
Jonathan Jones, veteran cornerback, has seen the rising tide of a young football team with a franchise quarterback and joined the Washington Commanders.
Ah!
So a lot.
He's chasing that ring. Good luck, John Jones. What a guy. What a gentleman. What a patriot. And that's with that now, ladies and gentle fans, you have but a single former Super Bowl winner likely on the roster. If the rumor is true, Ted, that David Andrews is to be released sometime soon, you'll have Cardona and damn.
We also have an opening on Monday afternoons on WEEI afternoons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As we used to talk to Drake.
Let's get Harold Landry in there.
Where'd you peel that from?
I don't know. Just seems like he's a local guy. Probably a good interview.
Commander's really kind of all in here.
You know what?
I love it.
I love their aggressiveness. Yeah. I mean, they wanted Debo Samuel. And they got Debo.
They got Laramie Tunsil.
They traded for Laramie Tunsil. I like the way they operate, the way they think, man.
So, and Jonathan Jones is the way you've been describing their whole non-sexy additions end up winning for you.
Yeah, you know, John Jones is your starting slot corner.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Or more than that, if you need him to be.
If you need him to play on the perimeter, he can. But, you know, so when Carlton Davis was signed here, it pretty much was fait accompli, right?
But now we don't know how Marcus Jones is going to fit in. Alex Austin looks to be – they re-signed him recently. We'll see if maybe he fits in. But this does open up a slot for wide receiver / cornerback Travis Hunter.
What are you talking about?
Are happy about the fact that you're thinner at cornerback because it may push the team to draft Travis Hunter.
Oh, no.
It's dead inside.
No,
I'm just saying, like, if you don't want to stress out Travis Hunter and press him into full-time outside cornerback duty, you could play him wide receiver first and maybe give him a few reps.
Well, it's with Carlton Davis signed, now you have two top corners. If he's drafted, it's to play wide receiver here.
Exactly.
That's my
all right.
And then situationally though,
yep.
Third downs, goal line, got to have it plays, high leverage points, then you can maybe put him out there. You can never have enough good DBs out there, but my guess is if they're drafting Travis Hunter, it's to play wide receiver.
That makes
stick to
that
steel in my opinions. They were.
Hey, I'm the one who also just said Alex Austin could be a fine slot cornerback this season. They just re-signed him. Obviously, it didn't cost as much as John Jones.
He's starting to show improvement, though. Yeah, I think Marcus Jones is probably that guy because of his size.
But why have I read then that I'm not sure which guy it was from. If it was from Giardi, Callahan, Kyed, whoever. But like, there's been some. Well, we're not really sure if Marcus Jones is going to be a fit in their defense. Is he too short? Is he not physical enough?
I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of his in the slot. He's built like a slot corner. He's quick like a slot corner. I don't think he's a great slot corner. I've always advocated I'd like to see him on offense more. Obviously, he's great with the ball in his hands on punt returns, and we've seen that. But right now, he's your slot corner.
Well, let's face it, though. Our secondary was probably, as far as height-wise, probably the shortest team in the NFL.
Yep.
And I think they're making a conscious decision to beef up the secondary.
Good Patriot, John Jones.
WEEI Afternoons live from Scores on Canal Street. It is starting to pick up here. Come on down. Get ready for the biggest game in the NBA tonight, Celtics and Thunder. It's a preview of the NBA Finals. We've been talking about it all afternoon. People are starting to line up at the bar. They're getting their drinks. They're getting their apps. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we have odds and ends. We'll finalize our predictions for Thunder Celtics tonight. And we're also going to talk about one of the greatest athletes of all time, unfortunately suffering another injury. Looks like maybe he could be done. That's coming up here on WEEI Afternoons.
If you missed any part of the show,
or to have it delivered to your phone daily,
subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on the Odyssey app
or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons winding down here at Scores Canal Street. Celtics Thunder at the Garden tonight. Coming up on Odds and Ends here is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car could be picked up tomorrow. Donate at carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. Ted Johnson, before we get to our final thoughts on Celtics Thunder, maybe some predictions, some props from Dan Ball. He's got some numbers ready.
Okay.
Action for the game. You brought this up, this story from golf that Tiger Woods has suffered a torn Achilles. I believe he's already had surgery to repair it. Continuing sort of the snake-bitten back end of his career and everything he's gone through with the knee and the car accident and the issues off the field.
Yeah.
Getting chased by your wife with a golf club.
I mean, let's face it.
That was the issues part.
He's
all right, I guess you could call it that.
He hasn't made life easy on himself, in my opinion.
No.
You know, I mean, there's a lot I could go into. I mean, I just feel like he's a guy that just is – that struggles. Life doesn't come easy in a lot of ways. I feel like there's a lot of demons. I look at Tiger – and he just looks tired all the time. Yeah. You know, he just doesn't look like he's healthy. He doesn't look like he's, like, you know, I don't know, that he's making the best decisions, I'll be honest with you. So I'm not surprised to hear this. It's unfortunate. Achilles, I just feel like this is it. I mean, the car accident in California a few years ago, I thought maybe that was going to be it. But, you know, just there's a lot of stuff, weird stuff around that incident.
Yep.
You know, it leads me to look for a guy that's struggled for many, many years with addiction. I wonder if he's doing okay. But this injury, to me, it's just a guy that isn't healthy. He's not taking care of himself.
Right.
I mean, for that to tear, I mean, in a practice round, like playing golf.
Yeah, and he's been doing like the TGL basketball and everything too. So it's been pressing himself. But at the same time, it wasn't a full and complete tear. I mean, it was the kind of thing they could just sort of go in and they repaired the actual.
You to say.
Yeah.
I've never actually torn.
Those are tough to
hope
come back
to.
From, man. Those are tough.
At his age, especially. And he's faded in turn. I mean,
it's quite a metaphor.
I mean, you see him playing in these pro-ams and in different tournaments with his son, and it's like he's like limping around like he's played in the NHL for 25 years.
Yeah,
golf.
Ever since that mugshot that you were talking about how he looks tired. You know, there's that meme, Andy, of like.
Look at that picture.
Yep.
And you know that meme of like
something happened, Ted. Yep. It's now your text message.
I've got a very Ted. We know the same people. But you know, Andy, there's that meme everyone uses of him like doing the high five with a guy where it's like big dog.
Yeah.
He looks in that one. He looks like he just had not slept for 48 straight hours. Yeah. Like maybe this is life's way of saying, guy, you've gotten after it enough.
Yeah.
Just take it easy, relax,
enjoy
being Tiger Woods the influencer, Tiger Woods the legend, less Tiger Woods the golfer
and you
or competitor.
You brought up addiction. I mean, it was reported that there was a sex addiction, and he's clearly been addicted to golf. So he has some addiction.
Oh, very much so.
In him. What that goes deeper and how much more, obviously.
Very much so.
Those are demons that he's dealt with.
I hope he's okay, man. The days of seeing Tiger maybe compete for. Look, I was at the Masters in 1998.
Hello, friends.
And it was great. It was the year after Tiger won his first year.
Yeah.
When he blew away the competition in 1997. And it was the year Mark O'Meara won it with a birdie on 18. But I'll never forget. You know who was in the on the leaderboard that year in 1998? So you can do the math. But he finished sixth in the tournament. And it was one of the best tournaments ever because Jack Nicklaus was in contention to win the Masters in 1998. The last one he won was in 1986. At the age of 46. If you do the old math, Tiger's not even
58.
And I don't know how Tiger's what, 40? I mean, he's like 48.
Tiger's 48, 49 now. So he was basically like 20.
And I'm trying to, like, 21? Tiger now at 48 with his health versus what Jack Nicklaus did at 58 when I saw him at the Masters, finished sixth at the Masters. It's just Tiger's not even come close to that.
Well, he squeezed a lot into that life he was leading. Night, you know, day, and candle, part of it, burning at both ends, kind
right,
of
and then right.
Finding a way to burn it in the middle,
late night at the Waffle House, early mornings on the practice.
He went hard.
He was training with Shoney's special,
dude. It's hard to keep that life up, man.
Did you ever see that video of Jack Nicklaus when he's on like that undulating green that's about 100 feet long, and he says, "Oh, I'll show you how you hit a putt this long." Puts the ball down, whacks it, goes over three different hills, sinks it 100 feet away.
I got another
unbelievable.
I got another Jack Nicklaus story for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
So
hard out at 54.
We're good. We got 3 minutes. Here you go. Settle in. All right. So
down to two, baby.
You guys remember the Ryder Cup was here back in 1998 at the Brookline, right? And there was right before the tournament. Jack Nicklaus was coming off of a back surgery, and his doctor was in Boston, and he came to visit his doctor for a checkup. And so they had a practice round, his first practice round. Hey, Daniel, before the Ryder Cup, and they go out and they play the Country Club. And he comes in after the round, and someone asks Jack, "Hey, what'd you think of that rough?" He goes, "You know, I don't know. I wasn't in it all day."
Great story.
That's Jack Nicklaus, man.
Okay, before we wrap things up here, let's get some quick predictions for tonight's game. Ted, we'll start with you. What do you see?
I think the Celtics win, but I think it's going to be a humdinger. I think it's going to be close, competitive, and I think the Celtics win late, at the end of the game.
Fitzy.
Same thing Ted says. Or actually, why don't you just make a take and I'll steal it?
You've already done that a lot. I am going to say Celtics win by at least 15. I am going to say Brown and Tatum both go for 30.
15!
Exclamation point type victory. Thunder, look out what you ask for. You might get Boston in the finals and you might not like it.
Got Boston.
Jameson.
You drink your. I'll finish the show. You drink your Jameson.
Cheers.
Thank you to Jameson for hosting us down here at Scores. Thank you for Scores. Great appetizers, great drinks. Celtics Thunder right down the street, TD Garden tonight. Appreciate everybody for coming out. WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to you 2 to 6 tomorrow. Coming off a big win. See ya. Okay, no. See this.
Dang it.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.